Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
Before I take you into the promised land, you're going to deal with issues in the promised land that if you don't get your mind right here, yes, there's giants, and yes, there's blessings. So I'm getting you prepared for war, God says. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm getting you ready for spiritual warfare, that this thing is real.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Let's go back into this recent sermon series with Pastor Rogers. This is the final part from this sermon series, Mind Management. Let's go back into the message with Pastor Rogers. This is Mind Management, Part 7.
You know what? If you get hungry enough, you'll eat whatever's on the table. I ate things over there that I've never eaten in my life. After a while, I just stop asking, what is that? It was written in Hebrew. What is that? I don't know. Looks pretty good. All right, put a chip on it. Why was God doing that? To purge their systems, literally. Look at the detail of your God. So let me just state right here. God wants you healthy. I'm going to try that on again for the, there's only 10 right there. I say, God wants you healthy. Why? Why does he want you healthy? Oh, he wants us to be, no, not just to be healthy. He has need of you for the future. And if you die prematurely because all you eat is Snicker bars and drink monster drinks and wonder why your stomach's all upset all the time, then you're of no use to him. He needs somebody that's going to get away from just taking care of their own self to be healthy enough to reach down and say, come on, let me help you. Come on, somebody. If the righteous, let me give you some scripture. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where is the sinner and the ungodly? I'm pointing over here, but where is the sinner and the ungodly? Where are they going to land? If the church people barely get in, if we didn't allow the process to do what it needed to do, and we barely get into the promised land. So let me go a little deeper here. Y'all want some more of this? So Satan wants you to stay. Now we brought this up to your understanding last week because this is a critical component. Freedom is an attitude. Freedom. We like our freedom, don't we? Except when we want somebody to do something or tell us what we need to do. Then when somebody tells us what to do, we go, hey, I got it. Yeah. I just love people like that, don't you? They're so smart up into the point when they're not so smart. And then when you try to help them out, I got it. No, well, if you had it, why didn't you have it before? Come on, somebody. Freedom is an attitude, a mentality. That's what he was trying to get them ready for. Why? Because they were going to have to take responsibility for themselves. Now it's not going to be God raining manna down from heaven and flying quail through the air and busting water out of a rock. Because every time they went, wah, he said, water, wah, manna, wah, give us some quail. I mean, everything was supplied. They didn't have to do nothing. Hear me, new convert. For a little while, God's going to take care of you like that. Every time you cry. I mean, if you want to get a prayer answer, find you a new convert that knows how to pray. Because they get prayers answered just like that for about 6 to 8 months. Boom, 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 boom. And then God says, it's process time. Because if I leave you in that state, you won't grow up and take responsibility to do what you need to do. If I leave you in this baby state of mind, the nursery would be filled with all of us tonight. And the two workers that are in there will be passing bottles like this. Somebody's got to take responsibility and grow up and say, wait a minute, I need to be able to get my mind right, my emotions under control, my will submitted to the Father. Come on now. You need to look up at the devil and say, you're not going to run me away from what God promised. You're not going to take my child and do what you want to. That's my child. Come on, somebody. That's my house. That's my finances. That's my life. You're not going to steal from me. I don't care how big the giants are. I'm going to possess what God said that I can possess. Come on now. And in order to do that, I'm going to have to walk through this process. That's all right. I'm willing to go through the process. Are you willing to go through the process? I'm willing to go through the process even if other people don't. Come on now. I knew this one person. They grew up in church. Grew up in church. Very involved, all that kind of stuff, but had this wild, crazy idea that they were a psychiatrist one day. Hadn't taken a class. Hadn't gone to college. Hadn't done any of that. But they declared themselves, I'm a psychiatrist. So they printed out a diploma. Put it up on the wall and started bringing people in to counsel. You've seen these stories take place. Some of you are thinking, right now, I think I'm going to cancel my doctor's appointment tomorrow, right now. You got to find out if they're qualified. I don't need somebody opening up my head who worked on Briggs and Stratton small machines. Come on, somebody. I want somebody who's been through the process. I said, I want somebody who's been through the process. I feel like I could do this. That's great. Go open up a little frog. And when you do enough of those, then graduate. Come on, am I with you right? Are you with me right here? The process. The process. It's a process. Let me help you. Hey, my name is Joey. I'm here to help you. So let's just say, I know this has never happened to you, but let's just say that you have a teenage son or daughter who just turned 16. And they've had their learner's permit. And they've been in driver's education at school. You haven't got the reports that they've wrecked three cars at the school, but it's good. And now they say, I want the keys. Well, first we got to go on a test drive. I want to tell you, whenever Taylor got ready to learn how to drive, first thing I taught him was where the brake was. Come on, somebody. You better teach him where the brake is. Because even folks that have been behind the wheel, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Even folks that have been behind the wheel for a long time have yet to complete the course of the wilderness process of driving. Come on now. I hadn't had mine very long. I got inside of my dad and mom's brand new mint green florist van. We pulled across the road into the KFC. Four lanes of traffic on Beale Parkway in Fort Walton. And I hadn't had enough experience in the process of driving. I'm driving, and my father sits to the right hand holding the chicken. I didn't know that you should take control of the situation like you should, so the outer lane came to a stop, and the person was so kind in the outer lane to say, come on over. So I did. And got right out in the middle, and because that van accelerator was really, really hard to push, it just kind of, you know, if you do it, it just jumped like a horse. I got right out in the middle, square out in the middle in that inner lane, perfect T-bone. Boom. We hadn't had that van for 4 months. I mean, wrecked it. Boom. How many of you know kids need a little bit more driving lesson than what they think they do? Look at your neighbor right now and say, you might need a little bit. Oh, I'm not just saying. Yeah. I get right out in the middle out there and boom, there I am. 15 years old, got my first ticket. Points. I thought those were like what you call today rewards. So I got enough of them to get my license suspended. That's when my wife took over driving as we were dating around. Works out real good. Her dad is just coming into that knowledge right now after all these years. The process. You put the teenage driver behind the wheel, you better teach him the process. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Get this tonight, because you're going to face, and I'm going to face, the process. And God, this is what happens. You read the story for yourself. The Bible said, here goes all that generation died off, and they're all out there, bleached bones out in the wilderness. Here comes all those desert babies, their children. They come up to the edge of the Jordan. And your Bible says, and then the manna ceased. God cut off their provision in the wilderness. Why is God doing that to me, you say? To keep you from staying in the wilderness like the four generation did. Because God cuts, and if you would have needed it, he would keep on giving it to you. But he said, and today, the manna, read it for yourself. And today the manna ceased, and they ate of the old corn of the promised land. The water ceased coming out. Can you see this? Can you see this? Don't do it. Don't do it, God. Don't cut me off. He said, if I don't cause you to grow up, then you'll do like a lot of folks and have a perpetual sugar daddy. And I'm not your sugar daddy. I am God Almighty. I'm going to let you go through this process, and it's going to be painful. And you're going to feel like sometimes that your world is falling completely apart. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God says, I don't want you to just know me as manna and water and quail. I am so much more than just those three. I'm going to show you, if you'll believe me and trust me, I'm going to show you that when you step into this promised land, I'm going to take out giants. I'm going to take out all of the enemy before you. It already belongs to you. All you got to. In fact, he told them like this. He said, Joshua, wherever you put your foot is going to be the land you're going to possess if you trust me to go before you. But I'm going to have to cut off what you've been relying on to force you out to move. Otherwise, you'll do just like the others. And I don't need another generation to do that, he says. What's going on? Listen to me, church. If you get stuck in the miracles of the past or the blessings of the past, how many of you had some great blessings in 2019? Let me see your hand. Some great blessings. You know it was God. Okay? Hands going up all over the place. Great blessings. And that's wonderful. Thank God for it. But if you don't move forward and recognize that God is more than what he did last year, right now, I promise you, I'm excited about the holidays. And I know what it's going to be for pastors. It's just, it's a horrible thing, because for pastors, people start going, they're already going. It's Thanksgiving. What do you want to do? It's 28 days to Christmas. Let's go somewhere. And they're gone. People just leave. They're gone. Boom. So this is the up and down year, and pastors go into schizophrenia and all that kind of stuff during this time of year. But I'm just going to tell you, I'm already looking into the next year. And for every blessing that has already come my way so far this year, and I thank God for it, and some many trials that I have had to walk through, some wildernesses where I sat behind that desk in there and hot tears rolled down my cheeks, I can tell you that whatever God wants to cut off, that's fine and dandy, because he is the God of the future. God is never going back. He's always going forward. And the best thing you can do is not get stuck on the blessings of 2019, but look forward to 2020 and say, you know what? If God was that big back then, he's going to be a bigger God in 2020. I trust you, God. I trust you.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org. Or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org. And I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.